Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What do you mean?
No,
I do have a book. I have a small book there.
It's downgraded from a big one.
So now this week's, welcome everybody to this week's episode of the Tommy and Hector Show with Loretta Blewett. A fella asked, could he name this week's show? And I think we should let him.
Okay.
I got this text in. So you know we're doing football now. And I think it's my favourite one.
Right.
Yeah.
Go on.
Deportivo Corandola.
It is. That's brilliant.
Good. Deportivo. So it's lovely. Yeah, I have a load of ideas here, actually. You know.
Oh, you do? But yeah. You had a bigger book. What's the story?
Oh, look, he's taking one out.
No, well, this is a point of contention. You know, I was telling you about this solo podcast thing that I wanted to do.
Yes.
Right, so I was thinking, okay, what are the ideas that I have for the solo podcast that can't fit into...
Oh, he's keeping a separate book. He's doing a runoff.
So then I said, well, that's a shite way to be going at it, isn't it? Dividing up your ideas. Yeah. So I just said, well, whatever ideas I have, I'll just fucking...
Put them all into the one book.
And I'll fucking horse them out. So I have...
There's a lot of them.
I have 9 subjects now to go through. And we'll see how we get on.
And we'll see how we get on.
But before we go into that, how was your week?
I decided to occupy me time by pulling up a decking, a patio. I mean, because I can't sit in and watch Ellen DeGeneres.
She's really,
Dr. Phil.
Gives out prizes.
I have to be doing something. So
in the morning, like
50 every day, I have to.
So the kids get up and they're gone to school.
The kids are up.
It's half 9,
and I'm there going, I have to do something. I can't sit inside. If it's in any way dry, I'll go outside. 15 years ago, we put down a decking, as all people said. What did David McWilliam say? It was the Pope's children. Decking around Ireland, 2004, 5 and 6. There was 755 million tonnes of decking wood put down around houses around Ireland. Everyone wanted a decking. I put down a decking. Tommy, you have a fine decking as well.
I have a fine deck.
Fine deck.
I do.
But I'm looking out at that decking. It's like Torval and Dean in the middle of winter. I mean, it's slippy, slidey, it rotten. The Jack Russell rock will be out and be sniffing. I know there's life underneath the deck.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So I said, right, I'm going to start taking it up. How do you take up decking that's down 15 years ago? The screws are rotten in the wood.
Yeah, you phone a lad and you say, fix the decking.
Exactly.
I'm watching telly.
So
I'm going to Super Value.
I went over to a mate of mine called Clive, who has the most amazing garage full of tools. Everything. And I said to him,
sounds like fucking hell to
me. No, Tommy, look, no.
Come into the shed and I'll join the new Black & Decker.
We had a cup of tea and we had a few ginger nut biscuits at about 7 o'clock one evening. And I said to him, what do I need to take up the decking? He said,
a Polish bloke.
I have one here for you.
3 Brazilians. From Gort. No. So he said to me, you get a reciprocal saw. I said, what is
a reciprocal saw?
It's this hand yoke that goes.
It gives you back.
I said, give me one of them. Open the boot. Reciprocal saw goes in. He says, you need a Kango with a diamond head in it.
Jesus.
I said, are you going to give me a Kango? He says, yeah, because the Kango underneath the deck, and it's probably put down on cement, on floats. He says, take the Kango. I thought I was cool as hell. I couldn't even lift it into the boot. About 90 kilos of a Kango. Got the Kango. He says, you need a crowbar and you need a nail bar. I says, for what? He says, for popping the deck. And when they pop, you get the crowbar in underneath.
And something to cover your eyes then maybe as well.
Yeah, have all that. Have all that crap. I am lifting the deck in for the last 7 days. I am popping boards and throwing out rotten wood. But things were going great last week. Middle of this, and lovely morning, I was out, Kango. I said, I'm on a fucking Kango. I'm working a Kango.
And were you wearing like working boots?
Yeah, working boots. And I have my old, I've got these old manky old jeans. I love going up to Super Value at lunchtime and getting the shopping because everyone says to you, are you doing a bit? I'm Kangoing out the back there and pull the deck in. So I was going well on the Kango, and I said, next minute, the Kango just goes dead. And I'm going, nothing.
Now you're making the noises. The Kango's dead, you're there. And the wife goes out, Hector, are you all right? Yep, just a. I'm on the manual Kango. There's something wrong with the automatic one. I have to make the noise myself.
I am. Dying Kango. Sick Kango.
Stop.
I'm just trying to get myself going here.
It sounds like you drank too much diesel.
So anyway, what I'd done was I had hit an underground cable
of
my electricity. I could have killed myself.
What the hell?
I had pierced the whole underground cable that runs under the house.
Hector,
very fucking dangerous.
Up.
So
very dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous.
You don't say.
Very dangerous.
Good job you were making the noise yourself.
I'm fucking lying in the bed in the hospital.
You'd be so full of electricity.
You'd be still there.
He hasn't spoken in days. What does he say?
We're waiting for him to run out of the battery.
I took the whole cable. And there's an underground cable going from the house that supplies the garage. It's about 3 foot under cement, and I managed to pierce
it. Wow! So
don't get sick.
Oh, stop! So next minute,
the electricity from the whole house.
Yeah,
is gone.
All the jump switches and switches
jump
went.
Switches.
All the trip switches. The missus was in watching Say Yes to the Dress. It everything went dead. I can hear this. What the fuck's going on out there? There was no power in the whole fucking parish. I took all the power in the parish out. I rang Clive. I said,
Clive.
I says, Clive.
Please stop.
I says, come over here quick. So he comes over about an hour later and he goes, oh, something's wrong. He says, I think I'm after piercing something. And he says, you're after hitting a wire. It's somewhere under there. And he said, and I'm sort of digging it. And
still with the...
Yeah, and I'm digging with it. And he's there. No, it's there. Put your hand down there and feel. I can feel the... And how well the fucker knew. When I put my hand down, I jumped. He electrocuted.
Oh, he knew.
He knew it was down there. He was down rooting and he felt a little electrical shock. But to piss me off, he said, it's down there. It's somewhere there. Put your hand down. I'm down rooting between gravel. The ground was alive. Was live. So he says, you're going to have to Kango out 3 foot by 3 foot. You're going to have to go down a foot underneath the wire.
I would have moved.
and then he goes, then you're going to have to go in and get two submarine joiners, a load of a load of SWA. And I'm there going, hold on a second, let me get me mobile. What a load of SWA. 3 meters of SWA.
What's
SWA?
It's concrete reinforced wiring. Two submarine joiners with a load of sealant gel. I walked into the Flaherty Markets about an hour later. Well, I'm lying on the counter with me boots. Well, boys, give us 2 meters of SWA, two submarine joiners. And what did the lad say to me?
Did you hit a cable?
I'm a fucking expert now. All the electricians were queuing up behind me going, is that Hector? So anyway, we fixed it. You join the wire with these submarine yokes and you fill it with gel. Oh man, that's what I've been at this week.
Health and safety warning. Do not try that at home yourself.
Please, why am I so giddy in here?
I don't think you're supposed to do things like that yourself.
What a week.
Anyway, that's my...
Jesus, I thought I was good putting together a flat-packed coat rack.
We get a list of all... Once you start doing a podcast, you can find out where your listeners are.
It's my favourite thing about the podcast.
You asked me for the breakdown.
It is phenomenal. So obviously, most of our listeners are in prison.
they're just about able to get Spotify and iTunes.
But it goes to all the different countries, and I'm fascinated by the countries where we only have one listener. Like the fucking
Yemen.
There's one fucker in the Yemen. He's just walking. They tell you, there's no health food shops in the fucking Yemen.
That's for sure.
There's no evergreen in there where you're getting your fucking zinc.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
And North Korea and fucking Burkina Faso.
Yeah,
and
well,
the Arctic. And I just love
Iran.
Iran, there's one cunt in Iran listening to us.
And we cannot find him. Where is he?
Fucking send him.
So we'd like to ask to our listener in the Yemen. Now, as you know, the Yemen is it's been bombed to shit at the moment.
It's having a very bad time.
And Ria Hosanna in Excel. And our listener in Burkina. So the two I'd like to reach out to is the person in the Yemen and the person in Iran.
Yes.
If you could get in contact with us, we would love to start a relationship with you and just find out who you are, what you're doing there, and how did you end up? Like, are you a Yemeni? Are you an Irish aid worker?
Are you married to a local man?
A shepherd?
And how did you hear?
Do you need
to
get across the border at midnight?
We can send a bus, a CityLink bus, to bring you.
Could you imagine
from the Yemen? Whoever you are in those strange places,
please get in touch.
What we'll do is before the end of the show, we'll call out the list of countries that we only have one listener in.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't
and
it?
And if you could get in contact with us, that would be absolutely fantastic.
We'd like to be friends with them, people.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about going to work with your father.
Right.
So I was watching this documentary recently, and it was about African villagers. In Africa, no, not in like Tume, but African villagers in Africa. And the way the society is set up there, once a gossan is like 8 or 9 probably, he spends the first 7 or 8 years of his life hanging around the mam, getting all the mammy softness.
Right.
Like, you know, to be, he's surrounded by soft flesh, you know.
And did he?
He's surrounded by the soft haunches of his mother, like her large, magnificent arse and her big thighs.
Holding on to her.
And, you know, like
comfort,
like
comfort.
The hollow in his skull will be matching the hollow in the cheek of her arse. Do you know the kind of up above?
Just the haunch.
The haunch.
Right. Right.
You know, so it'll be, they'll be going haunch to haunch.
Yes,
you know?
yes.
And he'd be surrounded by her sisters and her friends, you know, a young fella. What a beautiful way to spend the first 8 or 9 years of your life, close to that big bosom softness of your mammy. Isn't it fucking perfect? There's no better
safety
upbringing for a young fella than to spend the first 8 years of his life in such magnificent proximity to that marvellous generosity of female flesh.
Right.
And then around 8 or 9.
Well said.
8 or 9, he starts hanging out with his dad and everything fucking changes. Because now it's about muscle and fucking toughness and getting a knee in the back if you're acting the bollocks. It's about getting punched and thumped, and it's about spending time with your dad.
Yes.
Now, in Africa, this would have meant, you know, walking, you know, barefoot, hard ground, just fucking suspicion, spears, fucking silence, cunning, out in the heat, death. And that's how you learn to be a man. You learn about what manhood is by spending 10 years with your dad. In our culture, we don't have that. You know, our kids are sent to school. And but back in the 70s, I don't know if dad still did this. Back in the 70s, every now and again, my father would say to me, "Do you want to come to work with me today?" Instead of going to school.
What a lovely thing. Brilliant.
Wasn't that a fantastic
we don't say that.
Act of generosity?
And did
so,
you?
Absolutely. So my father's grand visiting farms. So I just spent the day in the car with him. Just fucking visiting farms.
Yeah. Mm.
Now his father, my father was an agricultural advisor. His father was an agricultural advisor. So, but I just thought it was a great thing for my dad to do, was just come on into the fucking car with me. And we'd spend, my father used to spend, say, 3 or 4 days a week in the off, in visiting farms, and one day in the office. So it'd be a day that he'd be driving around Meath.
That he'd bring you.
Out to Trim and Kells.
Did you ever any desire to do that job yourself?
Not really, no, but you'd be going into kitchens, and the farmer you'd be visiting would be delighted there'd be a young fella. And,
there as well.
You know, oh, hey, Anna, you're following in your father's footsteps, huh?
No, he's a cut of a tear, isn't he?
Oh, your father's a very clever man. Oh, he is, eh? Come on, and we'll have a cup of tea. And you're not at school today. You're fucking better off anyway. Nothing but cunts in them fucking places.
Out here and have a look at this, Kevin. Have a look at this Frisian heifer.
A scary calf. And a wonderful thing to do, you know.
Yeah, we don't say that to our children anymore. Do you want to come with me for the day?
I took when my oldest boy was about 12, I took him on the road with me. Well, he was fucking traumatised. I was there, you know, he'd be there watching the show. Like, it was an awful, I shouldn't have done it.
It's not like standing on the sideline, look at your dad is Robbie Williams.
No.
Jump into the truck. Or your dad is.
He's looking at his dad, and I'm there fucking. Because I'm a different person on stage, you know. I'm.
When I woke up in the morning, the kid is in the cot, and your cock is hard. And you go over to pick up the baby, and you're on half an erection, and your cock runs again.
How many vaginas in the front row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 vagina, 2 vagina, 3 vagina, 4, 5 vagina, 6 vagina, 7 vagina more. Look at all the vaginas.
The young lad standing on the side of the stage going, that's my dad.
Go on, dad.
Go on, dad, you mad bastard.
You legend.
You fucking.
And then driving home in the car, and he wants to be like me, so he's sitting there with the legs spread. Oh, Lord.
Talking about vaginas.
I love being a man, dad. Me cock.
I'm vagina.
Come on. We're going here, dad, mum. We're pulling here. We're raiding a few young ones.
Tommy, I remember when you did funny. That piece of comedy. I'll just say this quickly. In Kilkenny, at one of the gigs in Kilkenny, and you told that story of when you have the baby and you're still a bit horny 6 months later, and you wake up at 3 a.m, the baby's awake, but you're still a horny, and you clatter your willy off the railings on the cot. Well, I never laugh so much, and it's darkness. Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's a weird thing now. I used to say this little prayer before I went on stage. Now, it's going to sound really strange to people. But I used to be at the side of the stage, and I'd be going, like, because I'm quite a normal person, and I have manners, and I'm, you know, I don't really curse off stage, and I'm.
You're mainstream, like.
I'm mainstream. I'm an ordinary human being, like, but on stage. You just become this. It's like you're a creature from
zest.
Yeah, it's like you're from the other world, and the things what attracts a trickster is tension. So anywhere where there's tension in the culture, that's where the trickster fucking goes. So if there's tension around sex, he'll be overtly sexual. If there's tension around race. He'll be poking at it, like he'll be pretending to be racist. If there's a tension about whatever the fuck, that's where you gravitate, you know. And I remember going, and it's a feeling of freedom, and it's a feeling of not being careful. And it's an awful funny, like I used to say things like, I used to say, please, Lord Jesus, let me do my work. And not consciously kind of going, okay, I'm going out here to be reckless.
Yeah.
But I say, please, Lord Jesus, let me do my work. And I'd step on the stage and it was like this fucking space opened up in front of me where I just became like a Machiavellian fucking messer. Like, and there was nothing I wouldn't say and there was no topic I wouldn't go near. There was no word that wouldn't come out of my mouth. There was no image that I wouldn't describe, you know. And then when you walk off stage then and you go, what the fuck was that like?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
What the, why did I say that? Why did I, you know? So you might think, you might say, please, Lord Jesus, let me do my work. And you might think, you know, that you're able to handle the consequences of it.
Afterwards,
but you're not really. Like, I'd often be fucking driving home after a gig with my head between my legs going, oh, I can't believe I said that. And almost vomiting with self-loathing and fucking giving out to myself. But that's the spirit. That's what you ask for, you know.
And then you meet someone in the shop on Monday and they remind you of it.
So when Hector reminded me of that bit of material, that doesn't sound like me. Like that.
No.
It's just another, it's like, you know, like who talks about having a horn picking up a baby? Yeah.
You see?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's, yeah. Jesus Christ. You talk about putting your face into a bee's hive.
But like, it was such a funny
trouble.
But
on stage... fucking
it's okay.
And it's so funny in the audience when you hear somebody saying stuff like that, because we've all been in those situations if you've been to that. You said about your dad going to work with your dad. We had a shop in the main street in Navan for 30 or 40 years, Kyogan and Carty's. It was a suits shop and carpets. And we used to have the mad thing was, when I was a young lad, my dad used to put down red carpet for weddings. So we get a call, wedding in Dunderry on Friday. Do you want to come with me? I said, of course I do, Dad. So we go out, we put the red carpet into the boot of the car outside the shop and we drive to Dundurry Church and we put down the red carpet, 140 yards of it, from the altar down through the seats, out the main door and then
across the gravel and
down the steps and across the gravel, and we'd and then we'd have one of those little push cleaner things, little, you know, like a little box and you could hoover up, like, oh, yeah. Not electrical, and he said, give it another lick of that there, and I'd be out in the steps and we'd wait until the wedding started. And then we'd go off for an hour or two, have a sandwich and a cup of tea, come back and roll it up, and then we get big bands of that big mask and brown sellotape and we'd stick it all up and back into the car, and 50 quid for the wedding. That's what my dad did on the side through the shop.
And how old were you been now? Had not, had
7, 8, 9. Yeah. I knew every church in Ireland, every church in Meath, Kells. Where are we going? Oliver Plunkett's. We don't need the big bit. We only need about 30 yards on this one, because we had a big roll, a middle roll and a small roll. But going to work with me dad, we had 3 or 4 men. Michael, I have to say respect to these guys who worked in the shop. We were right opposite St. Mary's Church, and my dad supplied suits to every GA man in the country. They'd all come in from Robinstown and Kells and talk football for hours and hours, and they'd wear Farris suits and McGee suits and legend shirts, and there was GAA in the shop, and there'd be men in from Raw all over, from Kells and Summerhill.
Sometimes you'd walk past the shop and you'd see 8 or 9 men in a circle just standing around going, GAA.
Jackson Kiernan was just 10 yards from us as well, and it was all Mead men in there. So I used to be in watching all this stuff happening. Pat Cregan and Michael Denning worked in the shop for 30 years, and I have to give shout out to them both. They're both their families. But I was in there as a 12-year-old and I was in there lying. We had a long counter. The counter was 30 yards long.
Old school long
measuring
counter.
Measuring tapes
stuck to the side
and sell a tape and all stuff. It's a drapery store. And they'd lie on the counter. There was no till. It was a wooden thing you pulled out, all the 50s and old wads. wads and wads and old 50s and 20s and 10s. And then I remember this man came in and he went, well, Mickey! This lad comes in. Mickey Kyogan was my father, Lord to rest of me. He said, well, Mickey! Well, Foxy, how are you? Come on, a new suit. And down at the end were all the suits on the racks. And I went down, come there and we have a look. And I'm 12, I'm learning now. My dad learned to be a tailor with Moss Brothers in London for served his time. And he was a tailor in Eden Derry and he loves suits. I love the smart suit. And he was there. And your man went. I'll never forget as a 12-year-old. He says, right, Mickey, he says, what size are you? He said, we'll have a look. And he took out the old measuring tape and he turned it round. He puts it round his waist. Yes. 34 and a little biro pen. 34 and then he went, what are you in the leg? And your man cocks out his leg like this. And Mickey, my father, grabbed the measuring tape and hooshed it in under his gusset like that. And he went all the way down to his ankle. 32 in the leg. And but just before he says, measure me, Mickey. He said, measure me, Mickey. And in my little mind, I went, what a great statement. Measure me, Mickey. And Mickey got down, but that was my dad. And it's funny when you put on a suit now and all suits, but going to work with your dad, we had a shop, so it was a haven of football and class talk. And what about you?
I used to go to the mart.
so
get a day off school.
So that notion of fellas, like, you know, first 8 years with your mam, that kind of tribal thing, and then the next 10 years with your dad. What is it for a girl?
Well, I suppose for me, because I was kind of a bit of a tomboy as well, I played football all the time. Yeah. So my dad used to train the local teams, like minors and under 16s and all that. So I would go off to training with him all the time. And my mother had no interest in the football at all. So I'd be at football, I'd be training myself, I'd be going with him when he was training, going to matches all the time on a Sunday with him all across the country. We used to go to every Mayo match, and Knockmore used to be flying in the 90s. We'd be going to Mullingar and we'd be going to Airog, and you'd be going down to Leitrim and you'd be going to all these places watching Knockmore. So we used to do that. And then sometimes on a Monday, I'd have an old sneaky day off and I'd go to the mart. I loved going to the mart. The Wellington's on. The best part of the mart was there was a great chipper in the mart. You'd get the chips.
Class.
Which mart would you go to?
Ballina.
So, and how old would you have been?
Oh God, I was going to the mart from, like, I could be 8 or I could be 9. I stopped going then once I went to secondary school because it was uncool then to be going.
And
to
what
mart.
Was your dad doing at the mart?
Well, sheep would be on a Tuesday, if I can remember rightly. So we'd be bringing the sheep on a Tuesday and the cattle would be on a Monday. Yes. So we could be selling, or we could be buying, or we could be just in for a look. So you'd load up the hoggets and you'd fill them.
They're the neighbours.
Yeah.
The hoggets live 2 doors down.
But the hoggets.
Josie Hoggett. Got a lot of mercy on her. Sill.
Mickey Hoggett.
Paddy Hoggett. Paddy Hoggett was a great man.
He got an awful dose of that. He did OJs. He died hard.
And Henry Paddy. Hoggett went to New York.
Henry Hoggett. That's right, yeah.
He was the smart one in the family. He was in 1A1. And so we'd go put the hoggets in.
What is a hogget?
Hoggets, a young sheep.
Oh, what? Yeah.
A young sheep. Hoggets, yeah. Before they start, like.
A lamb.
Big.
A lamb.
No, that's what we call they it. They go from a lamb to a hogget.
I never heard that before.
They'd have their first lamb. They'd be in lamb for the first time and they'd be called a hogget.
Wow.
Oh, the first
still
are. All right, okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then you'd sell them. You'd get a good price for them.
Would you have Wellingtons on and would your dad have a stick now?
And then we would also sell some to the butcher and then we'd pick them up about 2 days later in a white load of white bags.
And into the freezer.
The lambs, yeah. And we'd be eating lamb chops for a month.
Tell me about the day of sales, Loretta. The day of a sale, if you're selling, what would you be selling? Heifers and bullocks? And have you the Wellingtons on? Have you a stick?
Oh, God,
and
the Wellingtons.
What sort of a trailer did you have?
Well, it depends on what you'd be bringing. And if you had a big, you'd have, obviously, you'd bring a smaller one for the sheep and hop it onto either the car or the tractor.
Would you do all that work for them? Would you load them as well?
I'd load them with them, yeah, and then I'd go off to the mart for the day.
Had you a Land Cruiser or had you a...
No, we had either a car or a tractor, so you had to go in either. One or the other.
So when Daddy's driving the tractor, where are you sitting?
I'd sit in beside him, up near the window.
How cool is that?
And you have great sense memories of all that.
Oh, yeah. And there was great freedom, you know, like it was just, it was happy time. Like there was nothing... Like, we had nothing either, do you know what I mean? But you didn't need anything, really, back in the 90s, the 80s, 90s.
Tell me about the bag of chips.
The chips in the mart. They were such a treat. Because, again, you'd never be getting takeaways or you'd never be going... Like, you wouldn't be going into town getting chips when we were in national school. Like, we were at home in Knockmore. You never had takeaways, like, ever. You'd never have a takeaway.
Yeah.
We'd always have dinner, lamb chops.
Hoggets.
And
that's wonderful.
And then you'd get in and you'd get the chips and it'd be like...
In a white tray.
I'm
wondering now...
The smell of shite.
Yeah, do you remember... Now, this is a strange... one of the fondest sense memories I have is the smell of me father and the smell of me uncles.
And you'd know when they were at the mart, because there was a different smell from the mart than there would be if you were in the shed, say, or yeah. if you were out.
So do you can you remember the smell of your father?
Yeah.
And the smell of men at the mart.
Yeah.
It's a sweet Brilliant. Smell. There's a sweet smell of countryside, isn't there?
Yeah, I've no problem with smelling slurry now and stuff like that when you'd be driving around.
Slurry's beautiful.
Like people be like, oh God. But I've no. Like,
do you think do you think the smell of slurry is getting worse in years now compared to the sweet smell of it years ago?
Don't know. Maybe they're indoors longer, I don't know. Not sure. Haven't analysed that. Maybe some.
What about the smell of cow dung?
Yeah, I love that. Or the smell of round bales and silage, and they stink. They absolutely stink when you open them up. And then you're feeding the cattle with
them. We had fellas in school from Bohermeen who had that stink off them in school. Duffel coats that stank like silage.
What happens when you open up the silage?
It's just really smelly. Like it's because it's obviously not like, if you're opening up a big silage pit, it's obviously opened and it's more exposed to the air and it's bigger and it's there. And it's, but with the round bale, it's obviously so congealed, all that smell. And then you open it, the sponge and
dead
smell
grass.
Dead grass.
Anyway, great memories of
going to the mart and a punnet of chips.
I will have to go to the mart.
Can we do the podcast live at the mart? I know the Hoggets.
Did I ever tell you about the time I was driving out of, where's the name? It's Kilticlocher up in Leitrim.
Oh, yes.
And I was driving from Kilticlocher on my way, I think, to Manor Hamilton or something like that. And I picked up a hitchhiker by the side of the road. I never pick up a hitchhiker. And this is coming from a fella who hitched the 32 counties when I was a gossin, like.
Yeah.
16 years of age and not bothering my parents in the slightest that I was going to hitch to Galway. Yeah. 16. Fucking hitching to Galway. Imagine trying to do it now.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
It didn't bother.
You'd be gone missing now.
And I must have had thousands and thousands and thousands of lifts, and only once did a fella try to drop the hand.
He did not.
Oh, he did you? Yeah, yeah. He pretended he was Spanish.
What?
And he pretended he was Spanish. My name is...
did he sound like that?
Did he drop the old man? Oh, he did.
Did he? What did he do? Were you sitting in the front seat beside him?
Of course, yeah. Now, it would be very unusual to be hitching a lift when a car stops, you get into the back seat and you go.
That's it, you're enticing them there now.
Spiddle, please.
I'd get into the back seat.
No, you don't.
Not when you're hitching.
Not when you're hitching. You don't get into the back seat when you're hitching.
The deal
into the front seat where you can elbow the head off him.
No, the deal when you're hitching is that the person gives you a lift.
Get into the back seat.
Well, it should be safer.
You're watching too many films. Get him round the neck. Get him in a headlock.
No, you'd be much safer in the back seat.
But that's like a chauffeur.
Well, that's fine. You're just getting a lift.
No, you don't.
You don't get into the back seat.
Okay, well, easy. No, I never did that.
No, so.
Get into the front so you can hop out really quickly.
The deal with hitching is that the person provides a lift and you provide conversation.
Right.
That's the deal.
Okay.
That's the kind of the unwritten rule of hitchhiking.
Back in the day,
someone would pick you up and you're going from Navan to Dublin. It would take about an hour and you'd know getting into the car that you'd have to have you'd be chatting away for the hour.
Yeah.
That's the deal. Okay. I got picked up by, I remember I was picked up a few times by Christians. Like born again Christians, and they were, this fellow from Cork. He said, "Oh, you believe in Jesus, Tom? Jesus?" And he was a massive. Jesus Christ has saved my life. He saved my life, Tom. And so you get, it was a fantastic adventure for me, all the hitchhiking. But so anyway, this fellow dropped the hand.
So what age are you?
I'm about 20.
And you're going from?
I'm going
from... Was it raining with the wipers on?
No, I'm going from Dublin to Navan. And the way you used to go from Dublin then is that you would be in, say, O'Connell Street. And you'd walk down to the Phoenix Park and you'd hitch in the lip of it.
Right.
And because you go from the Phoenix Park out to Blanchardstown.
Mulhuddard.
And you'd be on the Navan Road then. And this fella stopped up and he pretended he was Spanish and he pretended he... he didn't know the words to various different things, and I don't know the word for this, and I don't know the word for that, and I was getting very uncomfortable. And then he says,
"Kind of words."
Was the hand down on the gear stick? Was it flicking on you with the finger?
No, he says.
Was he? No, was there any touching?
Well, he says to me, "I don't know."
He's from Cavan. He's trying to speak in a Cavan Spanish accent.
You've been waiting a long time to get that accent digging at me.
I can't. The minute I fucking do an accent, fucking Lionel Languages over here. Go on, Tommy.
Hey, hey. So I know I speak.
I
Is he a Filipino now? I know I speak much English. What is a... We're chatting away, right? And then he says to me, what is a word for... and he makes the gesture for breasts.
Stop!
I swear to God.
Shut up.
And he goes, what is a... for and I'm really... I'm kind of prudish. I'm going, I'm getting all about boobs.
And did you know in the back of your mind he's from Ireland?
Oh, I hadn't a clue. I believed him. Like I thought he was Spanish, and then he says, and might have even gone, ah, jugs.
Oh God, yeah,
jugs.
God.
We call them jugs. And he says, and what about down here? What would you call that? And I'm a bit, and I'm like. Those words are, I'd be uncomfortable saying them anyway, so I kind of, fanny or something, or gee, like, I wouldn't.
He's asking you what is that?
Yeah, and it says, hot about for the boy, what is,
why would have jumped out of the car moving?
I can't take this, why was the guy driving out of fucking Dublin?
In a Mayo Ridge car.
Fucking Toyota Carina, and he fucking speaking Spanish.
No, he said he was.
Fucking, what do you call it, this thing, big, strong, erect member. Shaft, is it the shaft?
He's Spanish actor, he's not Polish.
Oh!
No, anyway, no.
Battle of Rosetta Stone here. Like, go on.
Go on, Tommy.
He said he was a businessman and he was overworking Ireland for a little while. And he had fluent English, but he didn't know any slang words. And he said to me then, what is word for beanies? I was Willy or something like that. Just really uncomfortable, you know.
Jesus.
And then he put his hand on my thigh.
He did not.
And I says, will you stop the car, please? I'm going to get out. So I got out. And about 3 years later, he said his name was David. About 3 years later, I'm telling that story to somebody at a party in Rathfarnham or someplace.
No.
And he said the exact same thing happened to him. So this fella, and I'm sure there's people listening on the podcast who will remember. That this fella used to pretend to be Spanish, driving around the Phoenix Park, trying to pick
up. He could be a bloody serial killer.
No, he's just looking to get his hands on your balls.
But what happens then when you get them on? When he gets you on whatever, whenever he puts your hands on your balls,
he has a good rummage around your ghoulies, and
then what if he kills you afterwards?
He might just say
mucho gracias.
Yeah,
why? What's the English for that?
Why did he want to kill you?
I don't know, because that's a weird...
Jesus Christ, Tommy, could you imagine?
But it's a bit strange from the get-go anyway.
It is strange, yeah, but like strange things
happen. Yeah, but I think it's a bit of a leap from groping to killing people.
Well, you wouldn't know. It Tommy, starts off soft.
Can we...
But anyway, so...
Oh my God.
Yeah, that happened. I mean, I wasn't traumatised by it.
I understand.
I had a bullet.
Stop the fucking car. I said, and let me out.
Yeah, I didn't even say it like that. I said, I said,
now she heard me auntie's house.
Yeah, my auntie lives here. I'm going to get out. Please let me out.
I know all the people living on
this
road.
No, but it's not a nice situation to be in.
No, but it didn't knock any spots off me.
Did you tell anybody?
I probably did, but I was so, like that day I might have got 5 lifts.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? And the following day then I might have hitched
fucking
a Cork or
when
something.
When you think of it, that somebody was out
but
there.
Did you not think, no, I want to get his car reg now and I'm going to call the police, the guards.
With on what? On me hand?
Would go into somebody's house.
Do you remember the car, Tommy?
I don't. I remember your man.
Tommy, Detective Sergeant John Moriarty here.
Is there a statute of limitations on trying to grope young fellas way back in 1987 or whenever it was? Anyway, I'm not bothered. You're more upset about it than I am. I'm not traumatised by it in the slightest. This fella tried to have a go at me and I got out of the car.
Oh my God.
But I was in the middle of telling you another story.
Where was the Katie Clocker?
I was on my way from Katie Clocker.
Yeah, go on.
We just pulled into that lay-by.
We were on Crime Watch. We were on Crime Line there. So, now we go back to 1983 here when there's a...
So I used to do these world tours of counties, you know, and I managed to do like, the most we ever did in a county was 14 in County Cork. 14 gigs in 14 different places in Cork, and it was great. I remember doing a gig in Yall. Yall is rough as fuck, lads.
Is it?
Rough as fuck. We drove past the pier, right before the gig, and there was a bunch of young fellas there. We just drove, we drove up and down, and for some reason the young fellas thought we were the police, right? Under, I don't know why the fuck they thought we were, but they just, next thing they started saying, fuck the guards, fuck the guards, fuck the guards. But anyway, I was doing Leitrim anyway this particular time, and Leitrim is a midge infested gorgeous part of the world.
Yeah,
it's beautiful up there. And I seen this fella by the side of the road, and something, my body was ahead of me mind. And before I knew it, I had the car pulled in, and in he got. I discovered that this particular gentleman didn't live anywhere, and that he spent his whole life, he was in his late 60s, he was clean. That was, that's fucking impressed me about him. He was clean shaven, his clothes were clean. All he had in his left hand was a plastic bag. God knows what was in it. Probably some young fella's head. But anyway, he spent his life travelling around the country. I offered to leave him at this particular part of the road, and then he was kind of, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I said, I can go further if you want. And he said, okay, you might leave me into Ballinamore. And I said, yeah, I'm driving up that way. Like, I'd wake up in the morning and about maybe say 10 o'clock and I'd have nothing to do till 8 o'clock that evening. So what, right, are you, what are you going to do for, you know, 10 hours in Leitrim, except you're
drive around,
you're up for adventure, you know.
Yeah.
So he says, "Oh, maybe you might be." And I says, "Where do you live?" And he says, "Oh, well, I suppose I don't really live anywhere." So because he was entitled to the free transport, he was he would stay in youth hostels and stuff like that, and he would just travel around the country like that. Spent his whole life, and I was amazed by him. But one of the things he said to me was, "It takes all types of people to make a world."
Yeah.
And I thought that was very generous. And I said to him, you never got married, did you? And he says, no, no, no. He says, when I was young, grown up, I seen what marriage done to people's faces. And I decided not to do it,
what
you know.
What a statement.
And I know another fella from County Kerry whose parents used to fight an awful lot. And he said that his parents' marriage was so traumatic for him that when he was with a woman in an intimate relationship, even though he wanted it, he said, being close to her brought me close to all my neurosis. So for him to be with a woman just
too much
dug up all this psychic dirt that he wasn't able for. So he was someone who wanted to be with a woman, but decided for himself, I just can't handle it, you know. And even though I love physical intimacy, he was the fellow that said to me, to make love properly, you have to go to the limits of your passion and still feel comfortable. But this fella said to me, he says, yeah, I seen what marriage done to people.
So did
faces.
He have money? Like, did he? Was he able to?
Probably collected the dole the odd time.
The pension, probably. Pension.
But you can't get that if you don't have
a wanderer. A wanderer, isn't that lovely?
Tashtally. He just went.
Willie Clancy Festival and the summertime.
Wow.
He had the circuit that he'd go. So I was going to leave him up near Enniskillen. And then he was going to stay in Enniskillen the night, and the following day he was going to take the bus to Belfast. And the day after that, then he was going to take the bus down as far as Dublin. And then he'd take the bus as far as, you know.
Stages.
And if he ended up in a small town, he'd hitch out of it.
Wow.
And that's how he spent his life, just moving around. And I remember I was getting out of the car, and he says to me, what do you do? And I says to him, well, I'm a comedian, you know, a storyteller. And he says, and his eyes fucking lit up with the hilarity of it. He said, maybe tonight you'll tell a story about me. And I says, I will. The King of the Road. And he said, that's it. The King of the Road. And he shut the car door and left.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, as promised, the list of countries where we have one listener. So there's,
it's a long list, isn't it?
It's long enough now, yeah.
All right, give it out there.
So there's one fucker in the Cameroon listening. Yes.
Right, the Cameroon, okay.
Yeah, another fucker in Ecuador.
Yeah.
Hola, mi amigo.
There's one in Iran. Yeah.
Shalom alaikum.
There's one fucker in Kazakhstan.
They're not all fuckers.
Fuckettes.
There's one lad in Kazakhstan. He's working on a wind turbine up past Kritijar.
Guess the job they're doing, Hector.
I'll give the jobs, okay.
Right.
Okay, we've one. There's a guy in Latvia.
He's a jeweller. He's married to a girl called Frida.
What about Kuwait?
Oh, your man is working on the oil.
Listen to this one now. We have
Kuwait. Could you imagine Kuwait? Your man in the desert listening to us.
So we've one in Lesotho and we have one in Libyan Arab Jamahiriha.
I'm glad you said that one.
That's mad.
We've one in Tanzania. We've one in the Yemen. We've one in
Panama.
Hola. We have six in Navan.
We'll miss them out.
But unfortunately, we have nobody in Angola.
Right.
So that's, people talk about, when you get to all this, people talk about emerging markets. I think just at the annual, at the Tommy,
shareholder meeting.
The shareholder meeting. I just think there's definitely room for improvement in, we have yet to break. So the two major areas that I see that. So there's a list of three countries here where we've no listeners. Afghanistan, Angola and Antarctica. I think there's definitely room for improvement
they
there.
They all start with A. I wonder what that's about. Can we reach out to those people then? How would we...
Well, what we'll do is, if those people get in contact with us, what we will do is we will send you... You'll be the only fucker
Hector,
in the
we'll
Yemen.
We'll send you Hector.
We'll send Hector in the post. The fucking DPD van.
Well!
Off to Yemen.
Hola! Hola!
What we'll do is, if you can manage to get in contact with the show, if you're in one of those countries where there's only one listener... Or if you're going to be our one and only listener in Angola, Antarctica.
We'll fly you home for Christmas.
No, we'll send you a mug or a jumper.
Or a, f- oh yeah.
A mug or a jumper.
Now, you'd be fairly bet in the heat in the Yemen with a big...
You can cut the sleeves off.
And you have
it.
To send us a picture of you drinking tea in the heat in the Yemen.
So we're delighted that you're listening.
What's our Twitter handle?
Our faraway friends.
It's the Tommy and Hector podcast.
At, yeah.
On, you'll find it everywhere there.
Just tell someone else.
You were saying, Hector, there the dinners you cooked during the week or something. Yeah, I was fairly impressed.
I decided to do something completely different. A friend, Rian, the oldest boy, said...
My son. Oh, always getting those two mixed up. Oh, who's that little fella? It's a friend of mine.
No,
Rian.
He was Dad.
I'm not your friend.
He was at a friend's house and he said, we just had... buttermilk chicken burgers below there for the birthday. And I went, what? Buttermilk chicken burgers. And
Sounds hideous.
And then he Googled it. I know it's buttermilk chicken tenders and buttermilk chicken burgers. So the other day I decided
Buttermilk chicken.
Tell me.
Yeah. Marinade.
There's no milk in chickens.
Marinade.
No, but listen to this. So you go into the soup.
You could milk one if you were, as you said before, if you were determined enough.
How would you milk a chicken?
Larita, as you can see here, Meals on Wheels, 7 days a week, Marta Banny Kine coming down with the...
Yeah, ask her for buttermilk chicken
burgers. And can I just clarify
Friday?
With people? She really does deliver 7 meals a day.
What did she bring you yesterday?
What'd you get?
Yesterday was a kind of, I don't know what you call it, a small little pancake type thing, but not as thick as a pancake, with mincy stuff in it and peppers, and it was
like a taco,
a guacamole thingy majig.
That's unbelievable.
She's incredible.
But she's only doing it out of the goodness of her heart.
She's better. She's flat out with it.
So I went to the supermarket. I never bought buttermilk before. I had me chicken breast.
The supermarket in a week.
Cajun, sure. I had Kangos, Cajun seasoning. I put the chicken
butter
breast.
Butter milk. I think
so you buy buttermilk.
Is it butter? That's like saying kind of a slice of bread toast.
No, how does that sound like that?
Like buttermilk.
Buttermilk is gone off milk.
Buttermilk is sour milk that's sitting in a carton in the supermarket. Bread with. You make bread with and sourdough and all that. So I got me chicken breasts.
Don't you know fucking loads of stuff?
I put chicken breasts in.
You would as well.
I'll talk
cooked.
To you, Loretta. I'll end the
if
conversation
you knew how
with
to
you
cook,
here.
You'd know all about it too.
Chicken breasts into the
buttermilk.
The buttermilk.
And Worcestershire sauce.
And marinade. No, I didn't do that. I marinated them over 24 hours with the cling film. Then I took the cling film off, set up my deep fat fryer. I had my 100% flour.
Hang on. You were cooking the dinner for a... Like, you had to start Thursday's dinner on Wednesday.
This was Friday. We always have chips on a Friday.
Yeah, but you started cooking it on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday evening.
And what did you have for dinner Thursday evening?
I think we had sweet and sour chicken.
So did you cook two dinners on the Thursday?
Yes, you have sweet and sour chicken, and then the next day the boys knew I'd be doing, when they came home from school, it'd be buttermilk chicken. And
but you started preparing the buttermilk chicken on the Thursday?
About 9 o'clock.
Even though you were already cooking the sweet and sour chicken?
Yes.
That's what Maura makes your dinner on Thursday for Friday.
Look at your man here who's living in fantasy land. Yeah. Fantasy land.
I like all it. He hears is I like it here in fantasy
ding
land.
Ding dong. Ding dong. How are you, Moira? How's it going? Oh, it's a tofu tangine curry. Lovely.
I love that he doesn't even know what it is. He just eats it in.
So, Loretta, I had my deep fat fryer on. I had my 100% flour with Cajun spice.
The level of smugness coming off this conversation now is
no, Tommy. This is called cooking. So
cooking with Loretta and Hector.
I took off the buttermilk is now enveloped into the breast, and then Nigella. I dredged the chicken breast and embalmed it in flour with Cajun seasoning, oregano, salt.
You're
and
making
pepper.
Fairly suggestive hand movements there.
I'm trying to do a Nigella Lawson. Have you ever seen Nigella Lawson?
Yeah, but she can pull it off a little bit.
Than
you.
Oh, she certainly can.
Silk
she can
dress.
Pull me off. Yeah.
Jesus.
Fucking Nigella. Lord. Dredging. And do you ever see the angles of Nigella?
Christmas morning when she's making that turkey. Woo.
Woo. And she sticks her hand up the gutter.
Yeah, she's
you wouldn't get at the ramparts.
You shouldn't be doing that.
And into the deep fat fryer. The problem was my hands were getting really sticky. But
Gloves. You wear gloves.
Is it that the key?
Yeah, that's the key.
There you go. Well, that was it, Tommy. That's me buttermilk
just
story.
Wake me up when you're done, will you?
You're the one who asked about it.
No, because you.
Because it's fucking called living in the real world, cooking.
And buttermilk
fucking
chicken.
Hasn't cooked
it's
in
so
years.
Tender, isn't it, Hector? So tender.
It's absolutely. And you know the beauty
tenderized
of it?
Before you eat it.
Loretta,
would
you use buttermilk?
I do regularly. Buttermilk
absolutely.
Chicken.
And you know what? I'm going to embrace buttermilk now. From now on, now I know how to use it.
Bread.
I think I'll make my own buttermilk tenders every Friday with me homemade chips.
No.
I'd like to talk about something.
Okay, Tommy, take a deep breath.
Tom.
Here's an interesting one. So, a friend of mine is going to see a counsellor.
Not a county counsellor,
is it? No, a psychotherapist or a psychoanalyst or something like that, you know. I've had queer things said to me by psychotherapists. I had one who told me that my problem was I never wanted to be born.
What? Is that a registered registered?
Have you gone? So you've gone into these sessions, Tommy?
Yeah. So, but this is just an aside. Yeah, she told me that I didn't want to be born.
Was she a tarot card reader?
No, she were. I was in talk. A great woman now, and I was chatting away to her, and she said to me, "Close your eyes and tell me what you see." So, with no preparation, this is of a Tuesday afternoon in Galway in autumn, 3 or 4 years ago, and she says, "Just close your eyes and tell me what you see," and. I said, I see a light. Now, I'm not making this up. I saw these things, as anybody would see when you close your eyes immediately. And I decided to be honest about what I saw. Okay? Now, sometimes when in a therapeutic situation, when somebody says, tell me what you see, you get a bit self-conscious about it and your mind starts producing images that you don't really want to say.
Oh, it's playing tricks on you, like.
Well, it's kind of, so I started... Often with those things, I'd see Mickeys. Do you know, like 100 Mickeys coming towards me face.
You must be a dream for a psychologist.
Slapping them on the forehead.
You're
do you ever get that close your eyes and be like, just
that's an awful dream,
and
isn't
just
it?
See Mickeys like, everywhere.
A battalion of Mickeys.
It's just a squadron coming down, and they're heading for your face. Right, so
you're sick. Can I have some more tea?
Hang on, that's exactly the type of attitude that I'm trying to
come. I'm.
You are a sick.
But Tiny
human
Little
being.
Mickey's coming over the hill.
Did she say that there
What's
was something
that
wrong
coming
with you?
Over the hill?
No, what I'm saying to you is that in a situation like.
So she just pretended then that there was something else coming out.
No, what I'm saying to you is that if you're on your own and you're in your bedroom and you close your eyes, okay, and you might see images of different things, there's no pressure on you. What I'm suggesting is that in a public situation like a therapy, what happens to me is that I would start seeing things that
you shouldn't see.
I shouldn't see. It's like my mind is going, I dare you. I fucking dare you to say this now.
Right.
So in this particular situation was, as she said, close your eyes and tell me what you see. And again, I wasn't trying. There was no preparation. There was no, it was just, I had no idea it was going to happen. What do you see? And I said, I see a light, a kind of a white light, but there's stuff on top of it. Like, and I had this association with the stuff on top of it. So I said, I can't say that. But I said,
what was it?
Are you ready for this now?
Well, probably not. But
are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, it's like me mother's pubic hair.
What is wrong with you? No wonder you went to see somebody. You're not
what
okay.
What was it? Tell me more about what you're looking at there.
So I didn't ask for this, and I'm trying to be as honest as I can with this lady. And
how does it look like?
But hang on.
I know what she said. She said, keep your eyes closed. And she popped out, had her lunch, and left to talk for the rest of the day because she thought too much information.
And, then she goes home to cook the buttermilk chicken. How was your day at the counselling today? Well, yeah.
He's still in there. His eyes closed.
Tommy,
So again, and I'm being very honest with you now about this, and I'm just telling you what I saw.
What did she say?
So hang on. So then I said, I'm moving towards this light, but I don't like it. I don't like the light, and I want to get away from it. And then I said that next thing I said, this huge hand, like this massive hand, bigger than I am, comes and picks me up and it wants to put me down on the ground, but I don't want to go on the ground. Okay, so this is like Salvador Dali. This is like just random images. This is from your non-logical part.
Had you taken anything before?
No, I hadn't.
And to alter your mind?
No, but
it's like, does this happen in anyone else's head?
I bet it does in yours as well.
What? I close my eyes and I see pubic hair hanging down from the ceiling, is it? And a big hand coming to take me away. Tommy, seriously. There's actually...
That's the way you said it.
I close my eyes. Drew back your pubes, la la la, to see first. La la la, whose pubes are they?
Yeah. Oh, anyway, look,
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what sort of a situation you'd put yourself in for this to arise.
And what she said,
all I did was close my eyes and say what I saw.
Well, close them now. Go on, close your eyes now.
No, I'm not, because I'm in the middle of a story. Anyway, so... I was obviously embarrassed about this and
you should be.
But I said it anyway, and then she says, okay, open your eyes. So I open my eyes and I kind of go, fuck me. You know, at least I said it. At least I wasn't, you know, pretending to have thoughts that I don't have, and not even thoughts, images and associations.
I have to tell you, you should have pretended you didn't.
No, but
see him.
He's paying your good money.
Your psyche is like a fucking brick wall with no holes in it at all.
It's a load of hoggets on the back of the trailer.
That's it. Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Close. What do you see? Hoggets. I see hoggets and scurry pits and punnets of chips. I see punnets of hoggets. I see hoggets eating punnets of chips.
One.
So anyway, so she said, okay, well, I think what's going on there, Tommy, is that you were expressing the desire that you did not want to be born. Hmm. Now that has stayed with me. That happened about 4 or 5 years ago. It has stayed with me as a thing. I did not want to be born. Right? You're making... So,
I get that. I figured that bit
so
out.
Sorry, Hector's trying to explain in silence here.
Yes,
what
I did
dream
get
is
it.
But
I thought he was trying to pull something. I didn't. Yes, I get it.
But that's not the story I wanted to tell you.
Oh, God, something even worse, is it?
No, this is a...
Jesus, Tommy, can I ask? What time of the morning was this session?
It's about 11 o'clock.
And had she said, or was it a lady therapist?
Yeah, yeah.
Did she say to you, okay, relax, Tommy, were you lying down for this?
No, I was sitting in a chair.
Was the lighting nice? Was there quietness? Was there calm?
I bet you when you closed your eyes, she was flashing up cards. With vaginas.
You're so suspicious.
You watch too many movies.
I have questions.
You have no sympathy for my honesty.
Well, I think now I can see the whole image emerging here.
Yeah.
Your negativity over the last few months.
Look at the way the hands go. Look at the big pen in one hand.
This is where it's coming from. You're on about how it's boring during the day. You don't have a zest for life anymore. You like
flat. You said he was flat.
You're flat.
I said I was not flourishing.
Yeah, that's where that's coming from, because it's you're being constantly reminded of your desire to have stayed, to be never born. So now that's staying with you. And as a result, you're a negative person. So there you go now. And
now it's time for one of those little stings on the podcast.
No, but I did also say that I loved being at work the other day and I was thriving on it.
Yeah, but you're only trying to convince yourself.
So what do I do, Larissa?
Well, I think you need to flush that episode from your memory. You need to take something that will get rid of it. You need to let somebody be a little bit more positive with you. You need to go back to that counsellor and you need to say...
Did you do many sessions with her?
I did, and she was a great woman, really, really.
I've never gone to counselling. Should everyone go to counselling?
I don't know. I think it's like.
Well, Tommy needs to go to a few more sessions. So, what happened in the next episode
of The Sopranos?
when you closed your eyes for a second time,
I can't remember. But that one particularly stayed with me because as I was seeing the images, I couldn't
unsee them.
No, I couldn't make sense of them. But then her thing afterwards, I went, geez, now wasn't she smart?
But was this a recurring view you had when
not
you
were... Not at all. No.
So it just happened that minute in the...
Yeah. Mm. Again, this is like if you got into a taxi and a fella says, close your eyes and tell me what you see. No preparation. But it stayed with me as a kind of a... Not as a... It stayed with me as a kind of almost an obstacle to something. Like that's an unbelievable thing to say to somebody.
That's what I'm telling you.
Your problem is you have a desire not to be born. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about. This is what I wanted to talk about. We can come back to it, of course. But this is what I want to talk about. So this friend of mine is going to see a counsellor. And this is, I think this is a beautiful sentiment. This person I know said that they phoned up the counsellor and said, look, I'm not going to be able to make it in today. Right? And the counsellor said, fine, I'll be here anyway. So what the counsellor was going to do is, even though my friend wasn't going to turn up, the counsellor was going to sit in the space opposite the empty chair for the hour so that my friend knew in some weird way that for that hour there was someone who cared. And there was someone who was still kind of...
Yeah, that was lovely, wasn't it?
Minding them. Isn't it beautiful?
That's a nice thing. Yeah, that's pure...
Heart.
Yeah, and care. Soul. And caring.
Yeah.
Counselling.
It doesn't matter. I'll still be here for you.
That's lovely, yeah.
And it reminded me of the Poor Clares, the nuns in Nuns Island.
Uh-huh.
And they have a thing of... They have an altar of perpetual adoration.
Mm-hmm.
Which means at any hour of the day and night...
That's in a lot of churches.
Yeah.
No, but at any hour of the day and night... There's a member of the Poor Clares is kneeling down in front of it.
Really?
So
all
two,
the time.
3, 4, they're doing shifts.
Mm.
6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, New Year's Eve.
It's continual adoration.
One person is there. And I said to them, what are you doing? And they said, we're sending love out into the city.
That's a lovely... That's
gorgeous.
Yeah.
Are they not, I thought they were the ones that don't talk.
They don't talk, no.
So how did they tell you that?
They must have been talking this day. Maybe there was I met one of them out of it or something like that.
Wow.
Not out of it.
Adoration. Adoration is an awful lot of church.
Perpetual adoration.
Perpetual adoration. The thing, let's go back to the counselling thing because Do you think that that's something? Why did you feel the need to go to a counsellor in your life leading up to that, those days?
Oh, I started going to a counsellor when I was 16, 17.
And would that happen like sporadically?
Even back then?
Or back regularly? Then, yeah. Once every, I tend to want to go like once every 3 or 4 years.
To different people all the time.
Yeah, and I don't go for very long. I go for maybe 5 or 6 sessions every 3 or 4 years.
Do you know from the moment you walk in there that this counsellor is better than the one you've had, or are they all really good? Or
no, there's a. I've had mainly women, and I've had 2 very, very good ones.
Mm.
Women that you kind of, there's almost, they're wise women.
Do women have more empathy as a counsellor than men? Or
I don't know.
Does that make any difference?
I'm not sure if it makes any difference. Maybe you talk more openly about sex if you're with a man. Mm. But what it was like being in the presence of wisdom. It was like having a wise mother.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like you go in and I just, with the two of them, I just felt I'm in the company here of goodness and wiseness and Irishness, and this is something like you could be walking home from school and you say to yourself, I'll swing in here to see Mrs. Nolan.
Mm.
And Mrs. Nolan said, come on in, Tom, come in. How are you?
Yeah.
Sit down there beside the fire and I'll give you a cup of tea and a biscuit now before you woke up.
Safe.
How are you?
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of
warmth.
That's nice, isn't it?
That's the feeling I got from those two women, that they were just, and it was parts of the country they were from as well. One was from Donegal and one was from out Connemara. And they had that salt of the earth, Irish charm, mischief, a light in the eye, but pure soul.
Understanding.
And pure care.
And did you feel better after that? That, like, I know for a fact, so say, for example, if you go for shiatsu or a Reiki or some therapy, that you feel as if something's after happened. So the hour after the counselling session and you're driving home, or that night or the next day, did you feel better?
I don't think so. I don't think I felt better. I had another strange one where she said to me, I was after spending, it was after another one of these fucking fantasy explanations, right? So you're in the pure spirit world at that stage. So you're kind of not connected to your body. All your attention is on images, and do you have the courage to say what image is coming up for you?
Right.
And
would you be sitting looking at this person?
Yes.
Or would you be facing away? Or
no, I'd be looking at her, but I'd have my eyes closed for the fantasy stuff. And you'd be saying, you're not asking for the images.
They're coming.
They're just, the images are there, you know. And you're kind of going, okay, do I have the balls to say this now? Even because it's rude or it's embarrassing or whatever, you know. But you do, you go for it. So I spent about 20 minutes one day doing this type of work, you know. And so you're kind of half, you're floating. So you're not really in your body,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I opened my eyes and she said to me, okay, this session, we're coming to the end of the session now. What do you... we would do some exercises. Are you okay? Because you're pure spirit at this stage now. She said you're kind of, there's a disconnect going on
with your body.
Yeah. Said, do you want to ground yourself before you go out? We'll do some exercises to ground you. And I said to her, I'm totally fine. I love it. You know, I like this feeling. And I walked out of it and up Shop Street slightly.
Well, there you go. So you did get it. You
felt
disembodied or
yeah,
something.
Or floating.
Floating, you know.
Yeah.
It was like the time when I broke a bone in my hand and I went into the hospital and they inject this yolk into you where it was the medical version of Rohypnol. Right, you're the date rape drug, right?
Right.
So what they do is they inject this super official version of Rohypnol into you, and what they do is my
I think it's called an anesthetic.
No, this was
this is
different.
This is a camera.
No, wait here. What they do? So they, my hand needed to be rebroken in order for the bone.
Morphine, Tommy.
No,
morphine.
Nope, my hand needed to be rebroken in order for the bone to set.
Yeah.
So what happens is they rebroke my hand.
Yes,
I screamed.
But you didn't feel anything.
When they did it? No, I screamed because I felt it. But a second later, I had no memory that it happened.
What?
Oh, that's a nice one.
Get us some of that, will you?
No, Larita, that's how
that's you coming back on the plane.
That's the Owl Lads throwing drugs into you.
Well, that woman that was.
Yeah, but so hang on. So that's amazing. So because I said to my wife, you know, she was there with me. She said, "What was going on?" She said, "You fucking roared," and I said, "I have no
what?
Recollection of
it." I thought they'd give you a bit of.
But I said to her. Then this other floaty experience, and I said, "My wife says, come here." She says, "What, Tommy?" And I said, "I love drugs."
So obviously during COVID, there's been lots of like kind of. People have been, you know, maybe trying to have an excuse. I saw something in the paper the other day that somebody wanted to have a party. So in order to have the party, because they couldn't for social, you know, because you couldn't have X amount of people, more than maybe 10 people. I think it was in Spain or somewhere. So they decided to stage a movie set and pretend they were all in a movie. Oh, you know, like a...
Yeah, because film crews can get together.
And then they created...
So they pretended to be a film crew.
Yeah, wow. And they created a scene for their party.
No.
Creative.
And told people they were shooting a film.
Yeah.
It's like your man in Dublin Airport who took the €3 flight to London and the six boys went into Dublin Airport. They went through customs, went through the passport, never got on the flight and stayed the day in the pub.
And the airport.
And they took the photo of the pints and their boarding cards and they never got on the flight. The flight cost €7.50 or something ridiculous and they did Brilliant. 12 hours in the pub in Dublin Airport.
My uncle is hoping to come back from London for Christmas and he's asking me, what do I do?
Well, Tony Houlihan said he's not encouraging people happened, to no. do it.
Don't come back.
No.
It's hard, isn't it, on people?
He wants to come back and he wants to float around the hometown. And say hello to his family.
Mm.
That's a difficult one, isn't it?
He's in his early 80s and Tony says no.
And Tony said no?
That's only an hour from here.
And Leo said no.
But if you were going to do it, then what would you do? Would you stay in a hotel for a fortnight? He's asked me to put him up in the Shelburne for 2 weeks.
Oh, good man. That's a good idea. You should definitely do that. And then let him float around. You see, in Australia, so a friend of mine was telling me, they flew back to Australia and it's just automatic. You get taken in from the airport, bussed to a hotel of the government.
Oh, serious.
You have to pay something like $3,000 or whatever to stay there for 2 weeks. You stay in the room, you get daily phone calls from the nurse or a doctor. You get checked to see if you've got any symptoms.
A young one, like a young nurse.
Yeah.
Like FaceTimes,
yeah. Yeah. And she says, take off your clothes there and turn around and do all this stuff. Yeah,
close your eyes, what do you see?
Yeah. I see vaginas.
I didn't see vaginas. It was white light.
And battalions and mickeys.
Squadrons.
Squadrons of pubic hair. And so they have to stay there for 2 weeks. They get food dropped to the door 3 times a day. And it's just, that's the way it is.
If you break that, it's
something like 8 weeks now and there's been no COVID in Australia because they've taken it seriously.
But if you break that, it's a massive fine.
I don't think it's possible for you to break it either. Because
if you try, they will fine you heavily.
Heavily, yeah.
I mean,
if you try and leave the room or whatever. And then the day before, they send you a badge, put on your wrist, and then you're free to go and you've been quarantined.
Wow.
But like here, we're just taking the absolute, like there's no...
Are we? In what way?
Because there's no, like, oh, have you... Like, somebody told me, brilliant, they had to travel for work. So they travelled, you know, to Europe, went, came back, and they get a text message, you know, are you still... quarantining, have you got any symptoms? Blah, blah. It's an automated message. But he texts back and he says, I'm still in the same place, right? Which is like, he went home and he said, Jesus, they never text me back or anything. I said, the message wouldn't have sent, would it? And he went, why? I said, it's an automated message. Like, they're not texting you out of the blue just to see, are you at home and are you doing all right? Like, it's an automated message. You're supposed to fill out a form, blah, 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 blah. And he writes back, I'm still here in the same place. And then
I don't understand.
You're supposed to go home and quarantine.
From where? So he was abroad?
Yeah, he was in Europe.
And he came home?
Came home.
And filled out the form.
And he was
at the airport, you know, they go blah, 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 blah. I don't know what they say because I haven't been to the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're supposed to go home and quarantine there for, is it, I don't know, was it 14 days, 10 days, wow, whatever okay. it is, reduced.
So if my uncle comes over, can he, if he quarantined for 2 weeks, would he be all right?
I think he can quarantine for less now. I think the
I think
time
it's 5 days.
It's five days now, I think.
Lockdown, yeah.
So you can put him up in the Shelburne for 5 days, not 2 weeks. So that's, yeah.
The question I have here on the podcast is, would you show your shoulder to the doctor in January for the jab? Hands up, who'll take the jab?
I'll take it.
Well, I don't believe in that fucking getting vaccinated.
Yes.
You're fucking mad it's a conspiracy because there's
I'm going to start calling you Sydney Powell.
they squirt stuff into you so they can control your thoughts.
What one would you take? Would you
I'll tell you, it'll probably do you no harm.
Okay, the question would be, will you take the AstraZeneca? Would you take the...
I take the one that's 95% plus.
You take the
effective.
Pfizer, would you? Would I you would. Take the Pfizer? I'll get the Pfizer.
They can come in here and give it to me.
You can't be
what would you do? Grow an extra face off the side of your face?
You'd have a fucking permanent horn for the rest of your life.
No, no.
Boy.
The Pfizer boys, to be
the
fucking.
The Pfizer, it's a half Viagra, half Pfizer, half COVID. Yeah. So, hands up, who take the shot? Yes?
Yeah.
No, hands up, who's going to the fucking White House in fucking January? Yes, you'll take the shot then, you
Tommy,
bollocks. Yeah.
Tommy will be able
Tommy,
to
Tommy, leap over the airport going,
I'm an empty
Hi, Tommy, this is security here. Sorry,
you can't be
You can't, you won't get on the plane. You will not get on the plane
sure,
to the
here,
White
listen,
House.
This yeah. fella won't even go in and get his fucking nostrils checked. Never mind.
Oh, by the way, now that we're on a health thing, when is the finger going up the butt?
That's
our business. It is. It's been done.
It's been done.
Did you have it?
I haven't had nothing done yet. I don't know when these things are happening. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, but did you see anyway? Okay. Sorry, yeah. But I saw this thing in Germany, you know, with social distance and all. There's this soccer team, an 11th tier soccer team. They were beaten 37-0 because they decided to take the social distance approach during the match. They kept 2 foot away from their impulse. I think that's what happened to me on Saturday night, was it? They did a social distancing approach to Dublin.
Yeah, well, just enjoy the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. They stayed 2 foot off their men at all times.
If anybody's been affected by any
by
of the
Mayo
issues,
football over the last 15 years.
Any issues raised in the podcast,
Don't listen to Tommy.
We have to say this now at the end of every podcast.
You
if
can
anybody's
contact
been affected, contact your local mental or medical health practitioners for help. It's been a pleasure talking for you. Because that's what we're doing, aren't we? We're talking for people.
Yeah, and
to them
there's
and making them laugh. And
there's
and
a lovely, I don't really do hellos, but there's a lady called
what do you
Sabrina.
Do? Just, you don't do hello.
I don't say hello.
What do you mean you don't do hello?
There's a lady called Sabrina.
Sabrina!
In the southwest. She didn't want to get too specific with her address.
It sounds like Moran Dahi
here. Could you say hello to Sabrina, please? She's a particular fan of you, Tommy, but she didn't ask you to say hello. Hector, could you say hello to her?
Hi, Sabrina.
Right, hello, Sabrina. What do you mean you don't do hellos?
No, I just don't mean like I'm not going to be doing like
just walk,
shout outs.
Just walk into houses
Sabrina.
And go. Sabrina. Anyway.
Sabrina.
Thank you very much for listening to the podcast, everybody, this week. We hope you've enjoyed it. And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And me.
It's long.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.